We're continuing on with our series we've been doing on healing confessions. And actually, I'm covering two topics today. One of them is when you receive a bad report, and the other one is organ system and glands, because they kind of go along, because a lot of times when you get a bad report, it's about something in your body. But in looking at this and going over it, what I discovered is that it also applies to just the things in our lives. Sometimes our bad report is not about health. It's about something else. We can get bad reports about any kind of thing, and we can get into those moods, and we get in those things that happen. And when we get in there, it can be any number of things. It can be a job. It can be a marriage or relationship. You could get a bad report that you're losing your house, or you're losing your job, or a spouse is leaving you, or all kinds of things like that. And, you know, when things happen like that, and you know, you'd think that when something happens to us and we're getting that mode, we get hurt, that Satan had cut us some slack and give us a break. But that's not the way it works. When that happens, he attacks us all the more because we're more vulnerable at that time. And so he can get in there and make all kinds of acquisitions. You could have done things differently. You could have done things better. All those kind of things. The shoulda, coulda, wouldas that we get into our lives. Like with me, I was talking to Chris this morning, and when I was running to the doctor, and they thought, checking my prostate, and they were looking at that, and the doctor says, well, come back in a year. You know, give me a prescription for a blood draw, and to come back in a year. Well, when it came time for me to go in there for that year, I lost the prescription. I couldn't find it. And so I was going to go get another one. And you know how that goes. You kind of put it off, and you put it off, and you put it off, and it's a year later, another year later. So now it's been 2 years instead of one, and my PSA comes back way higher than it needs to be. So we do a biopsy, and there's the cancer, and it's there. And it's like, you know, you can go through this. Well, I should have gone in a year earlier. If I would have gone in a year earlier, we'd have probably caught it before. You know, the shoulda, coulda, wouldas. I would have done this better. I would have done that. And those are the things that Satan kind of dances on your head about. So during those times, you would think that Satan would give you a break, but he doesn't. And so, but it also, like I said, it applies to all kinds of things in our lives, not just health stuff. The losing of jobs and mislocations and this theft of something. Somebody comes in, so they broke into my house when I lived over on Kelsey. One of the things they took was my dad's wedding ring. I wasn't too excited about that. I mean, my Nintendo, yeah, okay, you take it, you know. But, you know, when they got that, it was kind of bad. So what do you do to get over those bad reports or those attacks? And what I want to do is I want to look at a story of David, King David in the Old Testament. And it takes place, what I'm going to talk about is in the 42nd and 43rd chapters. And these are our two chapters. They were actually written at the same time. But when they put the Bible together, they split them, separated the two halves of it. They're the same thing, and they were written in the Psalms at that time. And when these were written, David was on the run. David had a son named Absalom, and Absalom was a very handsome, very muscular young man, very ambitious, and he was putting together a coup against his father. And so David's got word of this, and so Absalom is trying to take over the throne and basically take over everything in his life. And this is an example of one of the things where Satan enters into somebody and causes them to create a problem and to create an attack on them. And so David is leaving Jerusalem. And as he's leaving Jerusalem, he runs into a guy named Shimei. Shimei is the example of how Satan works in this line. David's leaving, they're getting away, they're losing everything. And in 2 Samuel 16:7, it says, as he cursed, Shimei said, get out, you man of blood, you scoundrel. So Shimei is calling him names. People will do that to us. Have you ever been called a name? Because of who you are? Different things like that. That'll happen. And in 2 Samuel 16:13, it continues on. And it says, so David and his men continued along the road while Shimei was going along the hillside opposite him, cursing as he went and throwing stones at him and showering dirt on him. That was the main way of showing disrespect. Not just calling them names, but throwing stones on them and throwing dirt on them. It means they're less than dirt. And so here he is. David's got all this going on in his life, and Shimei's there throwing insults. And one of David's soldiers, he says, let me go up there and just kill him. And David says, no, not this time. Let him live. Let him go on with it. What basically Shimei is doing, he's going along and he's saying, everything that happens is your fault. It's your fault. You did it. You should have done it differently from this. Because he had had problems with his son earlier on. And so they were saying, well, if you'd have taken care of it then, it wouldn't be happening now. And then he was saying, you're worthless. You're worthless. Have you ever been told that? Yeah, I've had that happen to me. You're worthless. And so that's exactly how Satan acts in what he's doing. Now, there's a song. What I want to do is I want to look at the very first verse in chapter 42. Okay? And the first verse in chapter 42 is how he starts out the psalm. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. Have you ever heard that song? A few times, yeah. Those of us that are older probably heard it more than the rest of you. But it goes along. But he says, as the deer pants for streams of water. Now, one of the things we need to understand, this, it's a pretty song, but what does that mean? What does that mean? And let me tell you a little bit about deer. Deer don't pant. If you see a deer panting, it's because he's been in an enemy's been after him. Something's been after him. And so a deer, if he's there, and you've seen him on the TV, like a gazelle or something will be out there, and a lion will take off after him, and the gazelle takes off on a dead run as fast as he can for his life. If he gets away, and the things tell us that most of the time they do get away, but once in a while they get caught. But if he gets away, the first thing that deer is going to do is he's going to go looking for water. Because in that burst of energy and taking off there, the gazelle uses up 80% of his water reserve. 80% of the water is reserve. And when he's done, you'll see him panting. But normally if the gazelle's just walking along or a deer's walking along, they don't pant. The only time you see it is when they've escaped from an enemy that's been pursuing them. Now, they go immediately looking for water, and if they don't find water within the next little bit and they've used up that water reserve, they'll just keel over and die. They get away from the enemy, but the pursuit was bad enough that it took them, and they fall over and they die. So the first thing they do is they go looking for water. And they have to do that. Well, David, in the beginning of this case, he's being chased by an enemy. He's being chased by his son. And he's getting out of Dodge. And so David says, I'm like that deer. I'm panting for water. In other words, I've been chased. He's been after me. He's saying, my soul is panting. My innermost being is panting, but I'm panting for you, O God. But for us, this is water. This is water. This is where we go. This is one of the places where we go to get that there. And David says, you, O God, are the only one that can refresh me. And the God is the water for us. So there are four things that we can do to recover from an attack. Number one is recognize that whether it's a bad report or something that's taken, other things taking place, we have to realize that we're in a battle. And any time there's any opening, Satan's going to use it. And sometimes it's just the simplest thing, but he uses it, okay? And they, so you go along the run. So then we come to Psalms 42:3, and to show you what David, how David's feeling, he says, "My tears have been my food day and night. My tears have been my food day and night." That's pretty bad. He's weeping. He's carrying on. "While they continually say to me, 'Where is your God?' They say to me, 'Where is your God?'" Who are they? Have you ever noticed they get blamed for a lot of things? Sometimes people say something to you and you say, "Where did you hear that?" Say, "Oh, they say that." Or you hear somebody say, "Oh, they don't build it like they used to." I used to hear that when I was building, I had my house over in Kelsey remodeling, and when I got into it, it's like, thank God they don't. It was terrible. But they're just like that. So David, in Psalms 42:9 and 10, he tells us who they are. "I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy?" That's one of the theys, the enemy. "My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me." Another they, my foes, "saying to me all day long, 'Where is your God? Where is your God?'" Basically, what he's saying is that people watch us and they look and they say, "You've served God all this time and you lost your house. You served God all this time and your loved one is sick. You've served God all this time and you've got cancer." I could have said that one real easy. "God, I've been doing this for all this time and here I've got cancer." But that's not what we're supposed to do. But that's what the things do. And should we not be there? Well, in John 16:33, what does he say? It's not on the scriptures there. But he says, in this world, you will have trouble. We will have trouble. We are human. We have physical bodies. Things can go wrong with them. And they do. Some of it's called old age. It's like when I came up the stairs, I was short of breath. That never used to happen when I was 60. Well, maybe once in a while. But as the older you get, it's harder to do the things you used to be able to just do. My brother's construction, and he says, "I used to be able to put these things up in places. Now I have to have help. Now I have to have help." I find that a lot. When I hit 70, it was like, okay, I can't walk like I used to do. It just doesn't work. But that's part of old age, and it's part of what we're doing. But one of the things that we can do is when we get in those things, we fight back. We fight back about it. Because we have to realize that we're in a battle, and it's a real battle. It's a spiritual battle. And there's a phrase that we can use, and it's in Zechariah 3:9. And it's, "The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you." The angels didn't dare actually physically mess with Satan, but they said, "The Lord rebuke you." It's the Lord's fight. It's not ours. Give it to the Lord. The Lord rebuke you. Satan is going to go against you, and the Lord say, "Just the Lord rebuke you. You know, get thee behind me, Satan." Another one you can use. But we have to realize that the battle we are in is real. It's a real spiritual battle. And the enemy is jumping up and down on there. But second thing we need to do is we need to realize that it's a lie. It's a real spiritual war, battle, but it's a lie. Who's Satan? The father of lies. The one that just, anything, you know, that one of the people said, "Tell me the truth, you liar." And it's like, he's a liar. He can't. He can't tell you the truth. And so that's why Satan lies. And he's the father of lies. And he'll tell you, you've blown it too many times. You have sinned just too many times. Case that she hasn't yet. Okay. She's moving on. She's got a lot of more sinning to do. No. But it'll happen.
I don't believe the lie.
It's a lie. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's what Satan tries to do, tries to put it in that aspect. So it is a lie. And when you're down, he's going to jump up and down on you. Some people will say, well, I'm just a little depressed. No, realize that that's part of what Satan's trying to convince you of, trying to get you to bring back memories and stuff that'll pull you down. The other thing that Satan will do, how good he is, he will produce evidence. He will produce evidence. If you remember the story of Joseph and his brothers, Joseph got the gold, rainbow-colored coat, and his brothers didn't like him, and so they threw him in a pit. They were going to kill him. And Satan got a hold of him. This is Satan working in their lives. And what did they do? They took his coat that his dad made for him, and they tore it, and they put blood on it, and they took it back to dad and said, here, we found this. What did the dad think? Oh, a wild animal's killed my son and eaten him. It was a lie. He's not dead. He's not dead. And every while, I'm sure the father pulled it out and reminisced over the loss of his son. And so he felt bad for the longest time. Satan wants to drag it on as long as possible, just to keep you as miserable as possible. Because Satan doesn't want you happy. Because remember, people are watching you. And Satan wants people to look and say, where's your God? Where's your God in all of this? So we got to start doing that. And then secondly, you got to stop listening to yourself. You got to stop listening to yourself, because what do? We'll take and get a hold of something, and we'll rehearse it. And we'll rehearse it. Psalms 42:4 says, these things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go, remember that, with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. I used to. Now, I just mentioned a lot of things when I was younger that I used to be able to do. I used to. So we start getting into those things, and I used to do this. Can't you just hear the whine in his voice? Oh, I remember the days when I used to lead. We've never sounded like that, have we? We would never do that, okay? And so David starts out in that. And if you notice, if you read the Psalms, David starts out a lot of times in the dump like that. And that brings up a question. Is it okay to whine to the Lord? Yeah. David did it. But David never stayed there. He started out whining. He ends up praising God for what he's due. And so the other thing about it is, if you're depressed, don't try and cheer yourself up. Because it's one person cheering up, it's one depressed person trying to cheer up another depressed person. It doesn't work. Get with somebody that can help you. Get with somebody that'll lift you up, that will cheer you up. Pray. Get some praise music out. Put on some good music like we're singing. Get it in your, liven yourself up a bit. Because Satan can be defeated, okay? Now, I'm sure in the next month or so, we're going to have bad news. Some of us are. Or we're going to have something happen. It's inevitable. But we don't have to let it push us down. We don't have to let it. It's our choice. And then we need to talk back. We need to let our spirit say to our souls, shut up. Just tell yourself to shut up. I know where this, that's what David did. He said, I know where this comes from. Psalms 42:5, Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? But your hope in God, and I will set praise. I will yet praise Him, my Savior. Oof, had a hard time getting through that one. But that one where it says downcast. Why are you downcast? It literally means to press down. To press down. You press down on the gas pedal, your car goes. So it's be pressed down. And disturbed, that he's talking about, disturbed there, the rumbling with inside. Like when you don't eat breakfast and your stomach starts growling and rumbling. So downcast is that. But David's saying, I know who's doing this. I know who's doing this. That there is an enemy trying to press me down. And I'm not going to let it happen. Okay? And so David says, my soul is roaring within me. And then one in Psalms 131:2, but I have stilled and quieted my soul. I have stilled and quieted my soul. He fought back. He was rumbling. Like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. Now, those of you who have children, when you wean them, what do? They cry, they scream, they carry on because they're used to their milk. They're used to that way of life. Okay, so they carry on and babies cry. But once they're weaned, do they cry for their bottle anymore? No. David, or Paul, said to the people in Corinth, I should be feeding you solid food by now, but I have to keep feeding you milk because you won't grow up. You keep crying for the milk. You keep crying for the milk. And we have to be not that. We have to make sure that we're not doing that. We're not doing that, okay? Because it's not helping anything. And the thing about children are selfish. Now, children's personalities, the scientist says, they get their personalities the minute they're conceived. And mothers will tell you, yeah, this kid takes over your body. You get moody, you do all those things like that in that realm. And they all have different personalities. Twins can grow up, and they will do things different. They'll look exactly alike, but they'll do things different. And they'll be that way. And they'll fight. Well, our soul and our spirits fight with each other. Genesis 25:23 says, the Lord said to her, this is Isaac's wife, two nations are in your womb, and two people from within you will be separated. The one will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger. In that culture, the oldest child was dominant. They got all the blessings. They got all the inheritance, all that stuff. And God's saying, in this case, the older is going to serve the younger. And that happened a lot. You see it in Isaac and Esau and Rachel and Leah, Joseph and his brothers, David and his brothers, the older serving the younger. Your spirit has to, your soul has to serve your spirit when your spirit tells it what to do. Okay? So when you're under attack, let your spirit tell your soul to shut up. To shut up. That's what David was doing. His soul was complaining. Then he said, hey, stop it. The spirit starts telling your soul what to do. Okay? And we need to get to God like the deer needs to get to the water. We need to get away from what's going on. And David said, when I look at God, he changes my faith. If I look at his countenance, he changes my countenance. Those things, those attacks, they can happen anytime. They can happen right in the middle of this service. I can say something and it will click a trigger, and sometimes it'll just push the button and the engine revs and away we go. It can happen. I've seen it happen. And I hate it when it does that, okay? But, you know, we got challenges we have to face and questions that are unasked. But Satan's going to attack us in those times. So here's David. He's leaving Jerusalem. He's losing his throne. He's losing his family. He's losing everything. He's leaving the church. He's leaving the temple. Do you know what he missed most? Leaving the church. Remember, he said, I used to lead the throngs to the church service. And he's saying, I missed that the most. I missed that the most. I missed the church. I missed the temple. He couldn't go back to the temple. But then in the middle of the psalm, he remembers something. He remembers that you don't have to enter church to worship God. And that's one of the great things of the New Testament. We get the Holy Spirit and we realize you don't have to be here to worship God. We're here for each other. But you can be any place. Even when David is being chased and ran out of town, what's he doing? He's praising God. David is a master at self-worship. David was a shepherd out in the fields at night and all the time. And what did he do? He played a harp. He learned to play the harp. I'm sure they didn't have a harp teacher. He learned to play the harp. He learned to play the harp so well that King Saul sent for him to come and play the harp to drive off evil spirits that were plaguing Saul. David learned how to worship and learned how to lift himself up in those times and when he was running from the enemy. So David, like I said, he had times when he was down, but he didn't stay there. And in our lives, we're going to have those times. We're going to have bad reports. How are they going to affect us? Like I said, I had the bad report when I got the cancer. But you know what? It did not devastate me. Most people get scared because they're afraid of what? Death. I've never been afraid of death. And God has blessed me. And there's times I should have died. And I didn't. But I've never been afraid of death. I was in the back of a pickup truck, going 60 miles an hour down the freeway, standing in the back with one of my friends. The truck changed lanes. I didn't. And I was standing there in midair, looking at the guardrail go by and thinking, I don't want to hit that. You ever been in one of those things where you can, you know, it's like, I don't want to hit that. Somehow, not by my might, I turned around and grabbed the side of the truck. And I was hanging off the side of the truck and my feet were bouncing on the tires. It's like, don't want to get those in there either. Another one of my friends saw it and came out of the cab and grabbed me and threw me back in the truck. I only weighed 120 pounds. And was like, okay, thank you, Lord. I was going up in the avenues going to work and ran a stop sign. Got hit, thrown out of my Jeep. Jeep ended up in back of the house. I ended up in front of the house. I missed a telephone pole, a street pole, a cable that holds up the telephone pole. There was one other thing, I can't remember what it was. Oh, the sidewalk. And lit on the grass. Broke the iliac crest off my hip. I got my hands up like this, took the flesh off my side. Spent weeks walking on crutches. And I know exactly when it was. It was in 83, the spring of 83. It was when we had the State Street flood, the river. How many remember that? Yeah. I was standing on the main street, and somebody said, wow, look at the water. And we looked up like this, and the water came around the corner, started knocking people down on the other side of the street. I thought, I don't think I can get through that. The bus came, and I said, can you tell me what bus I take to get to the other side of the street? That could have been a terrible time. But God blessed me and helped me, and it wasn't. I had to walk home once from Tolley Square. It took me 4.5 hours because it was late night, 2 o'clock in the morning. I didn't have any money for a cab. But you know what? God's blessed me and lifted me up. And it's like, okay. Am I worried about the cancer that's still in my body? No. No. I trust God. I trust God. Does Satan throw things at me? Yes, of course. I have to remind myself that I trust God. I trust God. And that's what we need to do. We need to fight back with trust and love and be there. And we're here because we need each other. Because maybe Satan's going to dance on my head in 10 minutes when I get through here. And I'm going to need you to flip him off. Well, then. Let me put that a different way. You all got dirty minds. Yeah, flick him off. How's that? Is that better? Anyway, so that's why we're here. And Paul tells them we can't stop socializing together. We can't stop meeting together because we need each other. We need each other. So now, as we have been doing all along, I'm going to walk down there. You're going to read the both of the topics today. When you receive a bad report, and then organs and glands, and I'm going to stand down here so my microphone will pick it up. Okay, are you ready? Loud, remember loud.
I am not shaken because of the bad reports. I choose to believe the Lord's good report. Bad news does not faze me a bit because I have learned to trust God and believe His word even in the midst of a challenging circumstances. I don't deny that sickness exists. I just deny it has a right to exist in my body. The word of man does not change the word of God. I don't deny what the doctor's word says. I just deny that it is my word, because God's word supersedes the word of men. I choose to believe God's report that says Jesus paid for my healing as my substitute on the cross. His report says the law of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. His report says that healing and health are my right and privilege. God's word says that by Jesus' stripes I was healed, and that is the report I choose to believe. It doesn't matter what the doctor says. I am healed. It doesn't matter what the medical tests say. I am healed. It doesn't matter what my body says. I say I am healed. God's word says that I am healed, and I believe it. That settles the matter. Isaiah 55:10-11. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth, and it making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seeds for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it.
Okay, keep going.
I speak to every organ in my body and command all of them to operate and function at 100% efficiency the way God made them. My heart is strong and healthy, beats in perfect rhythm. All the blood vessels surrounding my heart are free from blockages of any kind. My liver, kidneys, and lungs all operate and function effectively and efficiently without hindrance. All my organs function and perform their duties effectively. All my organs are healthy and whole, free from sickness and disease, growths and tumors. Every system in my body operates like a well-oiled machine. My nervous system, my electrical system, my circulatory system, my lymphatic system, my digestive system, and every other system operate in total and complete harmony with each other. They are free from sickness and disease, growths, or tumors of any kind. I speak life and health to all the glands in my body. I proclaim that they are healthy and whole. My adrenal gland, thyroid gland, pituitary gland, and all the other glands in my body operate and function at 100% efficiency, free from sickness, disease, growths, and tumors. My body is healed, healthy, and whole. I am full of vim, vigor, and vitality. Psalm 107:20. He sent forth his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Exodus 23:25. Worship the Lord your God, and his blessings will be on your food and water. I take away sickness from among you. Romans 8:11. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you.
Okay. And as you were reading that and thinking about it, the Spirit put a couple of other things in my mind and my heart about things that I've had happen to me. When I was younger, 48 years old, I woke up one morning about 4 o'clock in the morning with chest pain radiating down my jaw and my right arm. And I thought, these are the symptoms of a heart attack. So I got up and got dressed and drove myself to the hospital. You're supposed to call 911. But I got there, and they hooked me up, and the EKG said, looks like you're having a heart attack. So they drew blood samples, and they called the cardiologist in to do where they shoot the dye in my heart, in your heart, and see where the blockages are and stuff like that. And so I'm waiting for that, so I called my mom up in Ogden, and I said, you know, I may have to go in for open heart surgery. And it was like, what? Then I called my roommate, and he was at work, and I said, if I'm not home tonight, it's because I'm having open heart surgery. I'll be at the hospital. He didn't appreciate that very much. But they took me in, and normally they can put you on a treadmill and see, but with the EKG like it was, they didn't dare. So they took me in there, they did the cardiac cath, clean as a whistle. I mean, not a hint of any kind of blockage. They have no idea what created that. And myself, I think it was just Satan trying to dance on my head and doing a nice job of it. And it's like, okay. And then a few years later, I woke up again about 4 in the morning. And, well, no, I got up and my pulse was like 150, 160. And being strange, and I thought, well, that's not normal. So I got in my car and I drove over to the hospital, like again before they hooked me up, and I was in AFib. AFib is when the upper part of your heart just does this. It's not effective. And so the bottom part takes over and it starts beating at 150 beats. And so they put me on some medicine to slow that down. And then they have to do the thing where they take the paddles and they put it on your chest and go, kung. I used to do those with people all the time. I mean, I didn't do it. I was standing there in case they quit breathing and decided to die. Then it was my job to help bring them back. And so here I am on the other side of the coin, and it's like, oh. And so I'm in the emergency room, and Dr. Callum can't quite get there, so they send me up to intensive care. They put me in the room, and I'm in there. And again, I do my obligation call, you know. I call this, and I'm in there, and I was praying, and I turned over and I thought, you know, Lord, I'm giving this to you. I'm giving this to you. I trust you. And my heart converted on its own. Dr. Callum came in and looked me over, and he says, I'm going to give you a prescription for four pills to carry with you. If it ever happens again, take those. He says, but you'll probably never need them again. So when they expire, just throw them away. Never needed them again. Never happened again. But it didn't scare me because I trusted God in all of it. I told my roommate, you know, if I'm not home, it's because I'm having open heart surgery. But I didn't have to do it. So in the middle of it, it's difficult sometimes. Stop and put your trust in the Lord. And tell him, I trust you. I give this to you. You died for it. You paid the price. I give it to you. I'm not going to try and spend it because it's yours. It's yours. You take it. And trust. Is it easy to trust? No, not always. Because we live in this physical world and we know our bodies. And we know what it feels like. But when we trust, that's when things happen. Both times I had to give it to God. God, I don't want this to be a heart attack. And it wasn't. I don't want to be shocked because I've seen what it's like. And you've seen it on television. It's better than that. I remember one old guy, we got him all ready and we sedate him and all that stuff and put the paddles on his chest and boom. And he sits up in bed and he goes, oh, that hurts. And he turns and he says, don't you do that again. He laid back down. We had to do it again. But when we got all through the medicine that we gave him, he didn't remember a thing. So don't let Satan dance on your head. That's my message. Don't let Satan do it. And we're going to get bad reports. Trust God. Give it to God. Because Jesus took care of it. Now, you might die. Yeah, we all will. Eventually, mortality rate is still 100%. Well, hasn't changed. Okay, now I want you to do me a favor. Whenever you get a message like this, take some time, close your eyes, ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to get out of this? What is your message to me in this message? And then listen. And you may get something right now. You may get it next 3 days when you turn on the radio and you hear a song. Maybe something you read in the paper. But somehow, God will tell you. I had somebody who was praying with me and they said, God, this one needs a billboard. 2 days later, I'm driving to Ogden and there's a billboard. And it's like, oh, okay, there's the billboard. So close your eyes, meditate a minute, take some time, ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to get out of this? Would you pray with me? Living God, thank you. Thank you for taking the things that Satan's going to throw at us and those bad reports, Lord. You took care of them. You help us. You guide us. And Lord, you've got a message for each one of us today. Help us know what that is and what to do with it and to rejoice in you. Your word says that we enter your gates with thanksgiving in our hearts, not with complaining. So Lord, when Satan throws stuff at us, help us to get thanksgiving in our hearts again and rejoice in you and enter your gates and rejoice with you. In Jesus' name, amen.